morning, everyone. It's so nice to be here, and it's my pleasure, and I thank you for the invitation to speak. And I want to thank Kathy and Wanda for their hospitality for last night. And I want to thank all of you ladies for all the prep work you've done and for the cooking and the gathering of everything together. So thank you very much. We're going to start out with I have a reader, I assume, Romans 12. So if we could turn to Romans 12, 9. She's going to read 9 through 12 for me. Of course, we know that this is Paul writing to the Christians in Rome. And let's look at some of the things that he's trying to encourage them to do. To hate evil, stay away from evil, and cling to what is good. And love one another, and prefer one another, put others before yourself. And be fervent in spirit in serving the Lord. And then we get to our topics today. Rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation, and continuing steadfast in prayer. So, being a follower of God includes many things, but one of the more important attributes, I think, is being patient in tribulation. Jesus tells us we're going to have trials, we're going to have troubles and hardships in this world, and we're not going to escape that because the world is without God. Calling evil good and good evil, like Isaiah says in Isaiah 5:20. So we must be patient in our trials because we know all things are going to work together for those that love God, in Romans 8. And I'd like to give the definition of my two words here. Patient, being patient, to abide, to remain, to persevere, to endure, uncomplaining, long-suffering, stable, and unwavering. So God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And for this reason, we're going to give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance. And there's our word, patience. Perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and that's 2 Peter. So, we cannot show godly fruit without patience and acting faithfully. The seed that fell on the good ground are those that heard the word with a good heart and bears fruit with patience. That was in Luke, the sower of the seed. And don't be greedy for money, but flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Notice we don't just sit back and do nothing. We don't stand by idly, but we are to pursue, we're to go after, we're to acquire, we're to seek patience. It's not something that's going to come to us. We need to go and get it. The next word I had was tribulation. And there's many kind of meanings that go along with tribulation. We don't use that word very much today in our everyday language. Of course, if you're a Bible student, you know what this word means. But it can be misfortune. It can be trials and suffering, distress, difficulty, hardships, misery, disaster. All of these things are included in tribulation. And then we get to James chapter 1, and he tells us, count it joy when you fall into various trials. Who is joyful when they're in trials, when they're in suffering? We're not, are we? But then what this verse says, it says, because it's the testing of your faith. And it produces, and then this patient, and then it's testing, makes us complete, lacking in nothing. So when it says be joyful, there's a reason we're going to be joyful, because maybe not at the time that we're having these sufferings, we're not joyful, but later on, we're going to see how it's going to be very helpful for us to help others through this time. So Jesus will, in Jesus, we're going to have peace. But in the world, what are we going to have? Tribulations. We're going to have troubles. We're going to have suffering. And that's John 16. Tribulation produces perseverance and patience. That's Romans. And then, this is what I said before, the God of all comfort comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. So when we have trials and sufferings and we go through it, at the other end, guess what? We're stronger and we're able to help others that are going through these trials and sufferings, so that we can help and guide them through this. And because we've been through it ourselves, so we know how to help others. And the trials, they, of course, they make us stronger so that we can help others. So I'd like to look at some of the Bible characters I thought of. So let's turn to Job. I'm going to have some of the scriptures here in Job. He was the first one I thought of. You're always thinking about the patience of Job. We've heard that, right? So we're going to look at Job today, and the first one I thought of. And he had everything. Look at Job 1:1. He was blameless. He was upright. One who feared God and shunned evil. So he had it all together, didn't he? And look, he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. That's in Job 1:2. And in his wealth, this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. He was known all over the East. He had a good reputation, didn't he? But then, Satan was allowed to test Job with all kinds of trials. And during this time, Job lost everything. He lost his wealth. He lost his servants. He lost his livestock. And that's Job 1:15-17. And he lost his children. He lost his health. Remember, he was sitting in the heat with the boils from head to toe. He lost his health. And he lost his relationship with his family. Remember what his wife told him to do? Curse God and die. You know, she wasn't any help to him, for sure. But you know what? Job did not curse God. Actually, he fell to the ground in worship and said, "May the name of the Lord be praised." So Job stayed faithful to God. He didn't turn his back on God. He was patient, waiting for God's answer. And also, Job did not sin with his lips, and that's in Job 2:10. So, Job had come to know God like he had never known him before. Let's look at Job 42:5. He says, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you." So through all these trials and suffering, he became closer to God. He never turned his back. Let's look at the end of the story now. Let's look at Job 42:10. "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Because Job remained faithful, because Job did not curse God, he got twice as much as he had before. And Job 42:12, it says, "Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning." I have another reader, James 5:11.
"Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. Do not forget the steadfastness of Job,
And we see that even in the New Testament, Job is mentioned. And he's blessed to endure. And here he is, the perseverance of Job, the patience that he had, and what the Lord had rewarded him with. The next person I thought of was David, the king of Israel. He had a lot of sufferings and trials in his life. Oh, just look at a few here. Remember, he took the challenge to fight Goliath as a youth. None of the others would stand up. And here he is, a boy, and he's going to stand up because he knew God was going to be with him. And for many years after Saul had become king, Saul was chasing David everywhere to try to kill him. And David had many opportunities to kill Saul himself, but he would not because he was the Lord's anointed. David realized that Saul had been appointed by God to be the king at that time, and there was no way that he was going to go against God's choosing of Saul there. So that's in 1 Samuel 26:9. And then we see later on that David sinned with Bathsheba, and what happened there? The killing of Uriah, her husband. He tried to do a lot of things to cover up his sin. And then when he had a son with Bathsheba, that he died also. David prayed day and night for his son to live, but that wasn't God's choice. And so his son had died, which he had with Bathsheba. And just think about David's other son. What a disappointment they were to him. Over and over, his life was a disaster. Yet David was called a man after God's own heart. And that's in 1 Samuel 13. And in many of the Psalms that David wrote, he ends them by praising and giving glory to God. So he's another one that kept faithful. He had the patience to endure. The other person I had was Moses. Remember him, the great leader of the Israelites? He didn't feel qualified to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He said, no, find someone else, not me. I can't speak, you know. So God allowed his brother Aaron to be his spokesman. And so the both of them went out to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. So when he gets down there to Egypt, he tries to hide from God because he didn't think he was qualified until he sees the burning bush. And then we see that God speaks directly to Moses through the burning bush and tells him to go. And then when Moses gets to Egypt, he has to deal with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh, of course, wasn't going to let the people go. They were slaves in Egypt now, and they were doing all of Pharaoh's work for him, building all of these things. But God had a way to soften Pharaoh with all the 10 plagues that he had set there for them. And then after Moses got the people out of Egypt and led them across the Red Sea. I mean, they saw the miracles, the parting of the Red Sea, and they get over on the other side. What's the first thing they start doing? Complaining. They're complaining. We have no water. We have no, and a little later, we have no meat. We have no food to eat. You know, and they said, why have you taken us out of Egypt? Back there, at least we had food to eat. These people were so, they were just always complaining. So much so that they thought they wanted to go back into slavery after Moses had taken them, led them out. So the people were just a thorn. A thorn to Moses. And here's another thing that happened. While Moses was away receiving the law on Mount Sinai, he comes back down, and what are the people doing? Having great celebration. They made a golden calf to worship. Again, another disappointment. And there was many times that Moses had to intercede for the people because God was just going to wipe them out. He's going to destroy them all. But Moses always turned to God for the answers, and the Lord provided. Then what about Noah? How long did he preach? 120 years Noah preached for the people to repent, and they would not turn. They would not repent. So God sent a great flood to destroy them. Then I thought of Hannah, a wife of Elkanah. Remember, she had no children. And for many years, she asked God for a son. And what about the other wife? What did she do? She continually harassed her because she was childless and she had children. And because of Hannah's faith, God gave her a son and named him Samuel. And later he became a judge, a priest, a judge, and a prophet. Hannah decided through her prayers that she was going to, I'm hitting on some of your territory over there, I'm sure. Because Holly's lesson is constant prayer. And these, you know, patient tribulation and constant prayer go together like very hand in hand. So I was trying to stay away from all those, all those things. So we have Hannah. She dedicated, in her prayer, she dedicated her son to the Lord. Lord, if you give me a son, I'll dedicate him to you. She did have a son, Samuel. And she took, when it was time, she took her son to Eli the priest, and he lived there with the priest, and she only got to see him once a year from the time he was like 3 maybe through his life. And the only time that she would see him is when they went up to Shiloh for worship, once a year, and she would bring him a new coat. Hannah never turned away from God or blamed him for her misery, but was patient. She was later blessed with 2 sons and 3 daughters. So here we go, another one, Esther. A Jewish woman who became queen of Persia, a Gentile nation, and yet she became the queen. Remember, there was a written decree in the land of Persia that all the Jews should be destroyed. Well, her uncle Mordecai says, you need to go to the king and persuade him to spare the people. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. That was in Esther 4. You know, so she knew the consequences. If she came before the king without being invited, it could cause her death. So she prayed and fasted, and she told her uncle to tell the people to do the same. And she says, so she decides to go before the king, and she says, and so I'll go before the king, which is against the law, but if I perish, I perish, she says. Esther 4:16. So again, we can see she's patient in her trials and her sufferings. Then I thought of Mary, mother of Jesus. Some of the things that happened to her. This young maiden would conceive of the Holy Spirit, not ever knowing a man. How is she going to explain this? If she's accused of adultery, you know what that means? That she'll be put to death. So she's now with child, and she has to leave Nazareth to go back to Bethlehem for the census. Remember that? She was in her 9th month carrying her child. Nazareth was 90 miles away from Bethlehem, and it would take 4 days to a week to walk if they could walk 23 miles a day. And here she is in her 9th month, right? Going on this long journey. Then when she gets to Bethlehem, there's no place for her to stay, Remember? They were having the census. There was lots of people in town. There was no place for her to stay. So where does she have to go? She goes to the stable. And that's where her son would be born. Later on, they had to leave Bethlehem to go to Egypt. Remember, for the safety of the child, because Herod the king was out killing all the baby boys 2 years and younger. So they had to go to Egypt for a while to escape. And then Mary watched the miracles of her son when he was grown, but she also saw the crucifixion and his death. These characters did not turn from God or give up. That's why they're such good examples for us today. And we're just going to review the examples that I just gave you. We see Job. He didn't curse God and die like his wife suggested. He praised God instead. And we had David. He was unwavering and patient, always looking to God. That's why he called the man after God's own heart, because he repented of the things he did and turned to God. Moses, the great leader of Israel, always knew the Lord would provide. Remember, he prayed to the Lord each time when the people complained, we have no water. You know, Moses prays to God, and he always knew that the Lord would provide. Even the quail that flew into the camps. Then we have Noah, that had patience for 120 years, and then had the faith that God would deliver him and his family from the flood. Hannah continued to look to God for answered prayer when she prayed and prayed for her son, for a son. Then we had Esther, had faith and patience with God beside her to go before the king to save her people. So she knew that going before the king, she would not be alone, because God would be with her and comfort her and strengthen her and help her do what she needed to do. And then we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, trusted God to deliver her son. There's so many more characters. I mean, you just go through the Bible and you think of all these people, and it seems like everyone had a had a trial, had a suffering, had a, you know, things going on in their lives. There's so many. Their hardships. I was just thinking of a few more. I thought Abraham, he had to leave his home not knowing where he was going. And we have Joseph, he was sold as a slave, and the things that happened to him. We have Ruth, that was the sole caregiver of her mother-in-law and did what she needed to do to provide for she and her mother-in-law, and how it turned out at the end. And we have Hagar, who was the other woman, and what happened to them, you know. And we had Peter, who denied Christ. What about the prodigal son's father, who waited daily for his son to return? There's just example after example for us on how to be patient, how to deal with these things and that's going to happen in our lives. Those people in the Bible who went through trials and tribulations ended up growing closer to God, like Job did in Job 42. God uses our sufferings and trials to refine us, to make us better and stronger, so we can endure patience. We can have it be with us. I just wanted to say a few things about some of the people I know here. I know there are those here today are going through trials, sufferings, and difficulties. I'm going to mention a few things. Maybe your husband's not what he should be as a Christian. Or you have children who have fallen away or never obeyed the gospel. Or one who has married an unbeliever. You have a close friend who's fighting cancer. Or you may have cancer yourself or other serious medical conditions. Your husband or your child has passed away, and your whole world is crushed and you wonder what's next in your life. You're having difficulties paying your bills and wondering if you can make it through the next month. So I know that some of you here are having these trials. These are just a few examples. I know there's many more trials that I haven't mentioned here today. But we have hope because we know that with God, all things will work out for those who love Him. We can find strength and comfort and guidance in the Lord during these challenging times. And I know some Christians whose son had passed away as a teen, and they blamed God. And you know what happened? They fell away because they didn't look to God for the strength that they needed. We're told in Romans 5 to rejoice in tribulation, knowing that trials make us stronger, build character, and give us hope. Be patient in these tribulations because we know that in the end, Jesus will triumph over every enemy. Waiting patiently builds our faith, and our faith trusts God no matter what comes our way. I have another reader for Psalm 41. This is the Psalm of David.
I lay patiently for the Lord. He turns to me to hear my prayer.
Okay, so here we have David waiting patiently for the Lord. The Lord heard him and helped. And I have another reader for Isaiah 40, 31.
But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
So those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. You'll get strength and you'll be able to get through these sufferings. And then another Psalm of David, Psalm 27, 14.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
Okay, so waiting for the Lord is important. We may think we can do things better than what the Lord has for us, but it never works out. So ladies, I want to tell you today, remain faithful, be patient, and wait on the Lord. And now we're going to sing.